It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright.
Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around, turn me around, turn me around.
This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show,
what we see is unsafe housing, unsafe working conditions. We see exposure to pesticides, even working while pesticides are being sprayed or working without necessary protective gear. We see paychecks deductions that shouldn't be there. We see people staying here for a long period without working and then working until exhaustion at the last months of the season. So those are all of the things that we see. And unfortunately, many times mistreatment by the part of the growers.
Christiane Quiroz, director of the Virginia Farm Workers Legal Assistance Project, describes how her staff of three provide legal assistance to more than 2,500 farm workers every year, and the complexities of workers' compensation coverage and notice requirements are explained in this week's question and answer. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 43, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's news you can use. Virginia is one of 36 states that do not require a court process for foreclosures. Usually, a non-judicial foreclosure is started by an attorney, who is the trustee on the mortgage, sending a form letter to the borrower that explains the process. But these form letters may violate the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. A form letter used by a large foreclosure law firm in Virginia Beach clearly states that foreclosure will continue during the 30-day period in which a borrower has to seek verification of the debt. However, the Act requires that if the borrower seeks verification, the debt collector must stop all activities. The Act also requires the debt collector's letter to explain this right. The form letter also says that any phone call to get more information will be at the borrower's expense. But the Act requires that if the borrower seeks more information, it must be provided at no cost. Similar defective notices are used by other trustees. If you get one of these, contact a private attorney or Central Virginia Legal Aid Society right away to see if your foreclosure notice can be challenged. In other news, the Virginia Department of Medical Assistance Services, or DMAS, has admitted a goof. In cases where non-citizens were seeking emergency medical coverage for emergency medical services, DMAS said that undocumented non-citizens did not need to apply for or provide a Social Security number, but documented non-citizens did need to apply for and provide a Social Security number. This violates federal law. Although undocumented non-citizens are not eligible for most Medicaid services, they are eligible for emergency Medicaid. Under federal law, Social Security numbers are not required for non-citizens, whether documented or undocumented, who are eligible for only Medicaid emergency services. DMAS has responded, is fixing the problem, and is contacting local agencies about their mistake, but many documented non-citizens may have been adversely affected. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's legal term of the week is warrant in detinue. A warrant in detinue is a civil claim for specific personal property or its value in money filed in the General District Court. Although this court form is called a warrant in detinue, it is not used in a criminal case. It is used only in a civil case. The court paper must be served on or legally delivered to the person sued, called the defendant. The paper tells the date, time, and place of the court hearing, or the time to set the trial date, the property claimed, and its value, and why it's claimed. The hearing is the defendant's chance to contest the claim for money or property, or to ask for a bill of particulars. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and warrant in detinue is this week's legal term of the week.
It's time for this week's question and answer session. We're here in the studio with this week's questioner. Please tell us your name and where you're from.
My name is Tracy, and I'm from Richmond, Virginia.
Welcome to the show, Tracy. Thanks for being here. What question do you have for us?
Well, my question is, if you get hurt on a job and you have been denied opportunity to fill out an accident report, and in other words, you were denied the opportunity to file a workman's comp claim, is there any recourse for you to get your out-of-pocket money that you spent on your own doctor bills back?
Well, yes, there is, Tracy, but let me ask a couple follow-up questions. First of all, where were you working when this happened? In other words, were you at your place of employment or were you somewhere else?
No, it was not actually at the job site itself or at a service call. It was at my employer's father's house.
Okay, and was this during your normal working days and hours?
Yes, it was.
And was this a situation where things were slow at the shop and you were asked to go someplace else and do some odd jobs?
Yes, I was typically asked a lot of times when work was slow, and they would rather send you to do a lot of miscellaneous things or just come up with different things for you to do when it wasn't the work that your job description entailed of. So, yes, I did a little some of everything and anything just to for them not to feel that they was paying me to sweep the floor, and the floor was already clean.
And the reason I ask that question is because to be eligible for workers' compensation, your injury has to arise out of and in the course of your employment. So if you were at your boss's father's house and it had nothing to do with your employment, then you would not be eligible for workers' compensation. But in your case, it sounds like it occurred during working hours, so it was in the course of business. And it sounds like it arose out of your employment because things were slow at the shop and you were asked to go there since you were being paid anyway and do some odd jobs, so it was arising out of your employment. Now, when you are hurt on the job, whether it's on the job site or going to and from a job site or at a remote location, you're hurt on the job, you're required to do two things. It doesn't sound like you've done either of them, but it probably isn't too late to do them. The first thing you have to do is to give written notice to your employer of the accident. Normally you have to do that within 30 days, but if you haven't done that yet, do it now. Secondly, you have to file a claim with the Workers' Compensation Commission, and you must do that within 2 years of the injury. When was your injury?
My injury was around about I think it was in June of 2008.
Okay, so you're well within your 2 years to do that. You want to file a written claim with the Virginia Workers' Compensation Commission. They are located at 1000 DMV Drive, Richmond, Virginia, 23220. And their phone number, it's toll-free, 1-877-664-2566. They also have a website, which is www.vwc.state.va.us. Now, once you file your claim with the Workers' Compensation Commission, that gets your claim started. The employer is required to have an attorney in these claims, so you really need to have one too. There are dozens of attorneys in the Richmond area who handle workers' compensation claims. You can easily find one by going to the Yellow Pages, looking under lawyers, looking under workers' compensation. You'll find a dozen or so who advertise that they do workers' compensation. Most of them advertise free initial consultation. So again, after you file your claim, I would strongly suggest that you contact one of those attorneys to assist you with the claim.
You've answered a lot of the what my concerns were dealing with this issue. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you very much. We're here at the Charlottesville office of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society, and we'll be speaking with Christiane Quiroz about the Virginia Farm Worker Legal Assistance Project. Welcome to the show, Christiane.
Thank you very much, Marty.
Will you tell us, please, what is the Virginia Farm Worker Legal Assistance Project?
The Virginia Farm Workers Legal Assistance Project is a project of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We provide legal assistance, outreach, and education to migrant farm workers in Virginia. In 2008, we have visited a record number of camps and farm workers in a total of 166 camps and more than 3,500 farm workers. And this year, we plan on breaking our own record by starting the outreach season as early as this month.
Now, where do these farm workers come from, and typically what do they do?
Well, typically, H-2A worker is a seasonal or temporary foreign worker, also called guest workers. They come from various countries under a special temporary work visa to perform agricultural worker. And in the end of the season, they return to their countries of origin. Usually, the H-2A workers that come to Virginia are from Haiti, Jamaica, and Mexico, predominantly from Mexico.
And where are they located around the state? I know that, for example, I know that in Shenandoah Valley, there are a lot of apple pickers around Winchester area. I assume there are lots of different workers in lots of different areas.
Yes, we have workers in the Eastern Shore of Virginia. We have workers in Winchester, as you mentioned. We have workers in Southwest Virginia. We have workers in South Virginia. So it depends on the crops, the type of crops that they come to work on.
And the Virginia Farm Worker Legal Assistance Project goes around the entire state talking to these workers?
Yes, we travel throughout the state. We have two paralegals and me who manage the project. And we travel throughout the state visiting farms and farm workers, informing them about their rights.
Now, you mentioned earlier that these are H-2A agricultural workers. Could you just explain a little bit about that program, how these workers are brought into the United States, and the whole process for doing that?
Yes. The H-2A statute requires employers seeking permission to use temporary foreign labor to obtain from the Department of Labor certification that there is a shortage of U.S. workers. So they need to justify why they are bringing these foreign workers here. The rules that govern the H-2A contracts have changed quite a bit this year, but employers still have to provide competitive wages and working conditions, including free housing, reimbursement of expenses the worker incurred to come to the work in the U.S., such as payment for transportation, and a minimum wage, which is calculated by the Department of Labor every year in order to guarantee that bringing guest workers to the U.S. will not depress the wage of domestic workers.
Well, Christiane, as we all know, we are in an economic recession right now. 4 million workers have lost their jobs in the past 6-8 months, and probably more layoffs are on the way. Is this going to affect the ability of growers and agriculture to bring in H-2A workers in the future? And if so, how?
Unfortunately, Marty, the change, the very recent change in regulations will actually make it worse for U.S. citizens and residents to find work here or competitive work in the U.S. because now growers can actually and will probably increase bringing the number of H-2A workers. And the wages that used to be calculated in a specific way now are being calculated differently according to skill levels, which makes us think that actually if U.S. workers find jobs with H-2A workers, they're not guaranteed the same wages as H-2A workers. So this might be very problematic.
So let me ask, can an employer fire an H-2A worker for any reason at all? In other words, they brought here on a contract to do work. Can they be fired essentially employment at will?
Not employment at will. The H-2A workers and their employers sign a contract guaranteeing a series of rights to H-2A workers. However, workers can be terminated for cause, which includes abandonment of work for 5 consecutive working days, for example.
I assume that the normal wage and hour protections of U.S. law apply to H-2A workers?
According to their contract, H-2A workers should receive the wage rate for the year. The H-2A wages should be higher than the federal minimum wage. For example, the H-2A wage rate for last year was $8.55 an hour, while the federal minimum wage for the second half of the year was $6.55 an hour. The contracts also determine the number of hours to be worked per day and per week. Usually under the H-2A contract, the workers are required to work 40 hours a week, including 5 hours on Saturdays. An additional contractual protection is the right to receive at least 75% of the total hours promised under the contract. This is called the three-quarters guarantee.
So I guess the theory here is that these workers have come from thousands of miles away to do work. They ought to really get the work that they were promised.
Absolutely.
And do you find most of the time they are getting the work that they're promised, or is that one of the issues that you're dealing with?
Unfortunately, this is one of the issues that we deal on a regular basis.
So I understand that they do have a guaranteed wage. They're supposed to get 75% of the hours that they're promised. Are there any other wage and hour and employment protections that workers get, such as paycheck deductions or prompt payment of wages, things of that nature?
H-2A workers are exempt from federal taxes. They do not have the right to receive unemployment or Social Security benefits, so they don't pay those taxes. And in Virginia, probably they are also exempt from state taxes because they are not residents. However, deductions for tools and equipment should also be unlawful unless the employers can show that it's a common practice in the area of employment.
Now, one of the big issues, obviously, with agricultural workers is job safety. What health and safety protections do the workers have?
The safety protections are very much connected to their specific work, which is tools and protective gear. Farm workers face a problem in regards to use of pesticides, so they should receive a training for dealing with pesticides and protecting themselves from contamination or exposure to pesticides. They also should have access to potable water during work, because during the summer it can get pretty hot out there. So it's very important. And toilets in the camps. So they should have a safe and healthy work environment.
Now, you mentioned that H-2A workers are not covered by unemployment compensation in Virginia. Are they covered by workers' compensation?
They are covered by workers' compensation. Actually, this is a very important area for us doing outreach to inform the workers about some steps that they have to proactively take in order to protect their rights, such as inform the grower or the employer immediately after an accident or injury at work, and also about the time frame that they have to file a claim with the Virginia Workers' Compensation Commission, with this now 2 years within the date of the accident.
And what is the time frame for notifying the employer of the accident. You said that they have 2 years to file the claim. I assume they have to notify the employer in writing much sooner than that.
Within 30 days, but we advise them to do it as soon as possible.
Now, when you go to the camps and you go, obviously, hundreds of visits a year, what are the kind of problems that you're seeing out there and that workers are having and that they want to bring or are willing to bring to your attention?
Well, we see those are two different areas, what they are willing to bring to our attention and what we actually see.
Okay. Let's start with the second one, actually. What do you see? And then we'll go to what are they willing to bring to your attention?
Okay. What we see is unsafe housing, unsafe working conditions. We see exposure to pesticides, even working while pesticides are being sprayed or working without necessary protective gear. We see paychecks deductions that shouldn't be there. We see people staying here for a long period without working and then working until exhaustion at the last months of the season. So those are all of the things that we see. And unfortunately, many times mistreatment by the part of the growers.
And those are the problems they're not willing to bring to you. Why?
Because they are afraid. They are afraid of not being able to return to the U.S. to work in the following season.
So what problems are brought to your attention? What problems can you help folks with when they bring them to your attention?
Well, usually they bring to our attention when they are not working because they come here to guarantee that they will receive this amount of money. As I mentioned before, they have the right, contractual right, to a three-quarters guarantee. So they should receive 75% of the hours promised under the contract. And many times when they do not receive that minimum, they do complain with us. The other issue that they bring to our attention are deductions in the paycheck for transportation, because the grower is supposed to pay for that. By 50% of completion of the contract, they should pay the whole amount spent by the farm worker in transportation. And that's something that's constantly violated as well.
And I know that you're going out to the camps constantly during the season. When do you start going out and when do your visits sort of wrap up?
Historically, the project started the outreach season in May, but this year we have decided that we could start as early as March, and we already started this year. And we go all the way into December. Middle December is when the last workers are returning, although some remain until April. And that's why this year we decided to visit them once again, even the ones that we have visited before.
And I know that you're making tremendous efforts at outreach, but how would an H-2A worker go about finding the Virginia Farm Workers Legal Assistance Project?
We have toll-free numbers. And I'll give right now the three numbers from the U.S. If you're calling from the U.S., if you're a farm worker and you need some information, assistance, or advice, you can call us at 1-888-200-8479. And we also have a toll-free number if you are a worker and you are in Mexico. So if you're in Mexico, you can call us toll-free at 001-800-217-5173. All our staff is bilingual, and the information that you provide us is kept confidential.
Christiane, that is wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the show. We have been speaking with Christiane Quiroz at the Virginia Farm Worker Legal Assistance Project. Thank you very much for the interview.
Thank you, Marty.
This week's top three tips are about landlord references. The first tip is that a former landlord may not release information about you unless it is a matter of public record, is a summary of your rent payment record, is a material noncompliance notice that you didn't remedy, is provided in a true emergency, or is requested by law enforcement or by a subpoena. The second tip is that a former landlord may not release any other information about you without your written consent. The third tip is that if a former landlord violate these laws, you can sue your former landlord for money damages. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King. And for this week, that's our top three tips.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. Also, if you have a legal problem you would like answered or any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. Please include your name and phone number. You also can leave that same information before 8 a.m. or after 6 p.m. by calling 200-6045. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. Collaborative law is a new way to resolve family law disputes, where each party has a separate and specially trained attorney whose only job is to help the parties settle the case. Join us next week when Robin Edwards, managing attorney of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society in Charlottesville, discusses this brand new method of dispute resolution. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegman.